It's time.
It's time.
It's time. It's time.
It's time.
Time.
It's time.
Time to think about the things that you otherwise wouldn't say. Lucky for us, these two will say anything.
Come on!
It's time for The Fawcast with Chris Williams and Mark Charter. The Fawcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Why pay 7% to list your home? Choose the flexible 5 or 6% plan for you at charterhouseiowa.com. Hear more from Mark following this episode.
Listen very carefully.
Shall we do this then?
No, just take it one time.
An audio experience unlike any other starts now.
Guys, podcast time. We're here at the Charterhouse office. Mark, it looks like the Charterhouse fridge over there is fully stocked. Did you go to the store recently?
I did not go to the store.
That'd
be KK.
You got some of the new odd-smelling protein juice, it appears?
We got that. We got everything, man. We got beer. We got Diet Coke. We got stuff full of sugar, water, whatever. By the way, we're always happy to meet people. If a listener of the podcast ever wants to just stop in and have a beverage, feel free. We're usually here during the weekdays. Not always, but usually.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you still getting podcasters?
We are. Yep. We've had several recently. So
good. Is the market hot right now?
The market is not hot at this moment, which is normal for the end of summer. School, fair, vacations, heat slows down a little bit. But then we enter the fall market. So
when is like the peak? Is the peak in the spring?
Spring, typically. March, April, when your buyers that have been waiting all winter and your sellers that have been waiting all winter, say they get motivated again by nice weather. That's the peak, typically. So, but fall market could be strong. But yeah, we just had a Fawcast listener come in from Indiana who's working with Sarah. We have a referral deal closing in 2 weeks, I think, up in Michigan. So that was a Fawcast listener that said, hey, I want to sell my house in Michigan. Help me find an agent.
Oh, that's how that works. Okay.
I found them an agent, called the agent, sent a referral for him. So I make 25% of what that agent will make. Which is not huge money, but it could be, you know, $1,000, $2,000, depending upon the house.
Yeah.
And like I say in the closings that we do here, that money helps me pay you. So it's full circle, man. Circle of life.
The circle of life.
This stuff. So we continue to appreciate the podcast loyal listeners that are
good.
Using Charterhouse.
We need to have another, and this is a good little extension to this. We've hired the new Adam Gray.
Okay.
And she starts on... She starts on Monday. Her name is Casey. I don't know. I doubt she'll be a part of the podcast for a while, though. I don't feel like it'd be a great fit.
Is Casey going to call on Charterhouse to make sure that our advertising relationship is solid?
I hope, because I don't want to have to do it anymore.
That's a good point.
Would you rather have me or her?
Her.
Then you can have her.
There you go. I'm excited. I know you've been doing double duty.
Yeah.
Since you were abandoned. And it's nice that you got someone in place now.
Yeah. She starts next week. It's kind of a weird deal, like, because you have to meet all of our clients and you have to. She'll be in a learning phase here for a while. But yeah, we'll have to have her on sometime.
Every time somebody gets a new gig like that, and I'm well on record saying, like, I've become the old man, right? I'm the fuddy duddy. I'm the get off your lawn guy, like, with certain things, right? And this isn't a problem with the younger generation because it's almost coached now.
Yeah.
Well, you'll read articles that say, have 5 jobs, you know, don't get into career and stick there, you know, job hop. I've read plenty of things that's almost encouraged to do. So when you get the resume and says, oh, you've been in 4 places in the last 4 years, it's not even odd anymore. So when I see somebody young like this get into a new gig, I'm thinking to myself, I hope they love it.
You know what?
They stick around.
Yeah, and I've actually seen, too, like there are actual statistics that if you do job hop, you usually make more money too. Those are the people who make more money.
Which is exactly what you do not want to tell someone you just hired. You know,
I know, like, but I think that's more in like a urban type setting too. Yeah. I think Des Moines, like we're in like a little bit of a bubble, and I don't understand why.
Yep.
Exactly. But this is more like in corporate America, the statistics that I read this about. But it's like the ones who are constantly evaluating their where they're at on the ladder.
I hope that you guys pay based on you eat what you kill. In a job like that, no base salaries and stuff, that's fine.
But yeah,
jobs like that, when there's a carrot out there, a motivating factor to get your butt out of bed to go do something,
yeah,
I like those types of jobs.
Yeah. Any job in sales pretty much is like that.
Should be like that.
Yeah. No, I'm excited about that. A little breaking news here.
So we wish Casey well.
Yeah.
We'll and, bring her in next and look week forward and to meeting her at some point in the future.
Yeah. So that'll be cool. Man, the season's just getting ready to start. We didn't have a guest today. In fact, I asked a bunch of people, and today with the state fair and stuff, I've learned is very busy. I asked multiple people, so I asked two of the basketball coaches, and the basketball staff is all on vacation.
Not surprising,
right?
I guess.
They all took the week off. Yep. Prom game, everybody the week off.
Yep.
I asked one football coach, but they're a little busy right now.
A little bit.
With fall camp, and I thought that was a long shot. I asked Jack Whitfer.
Yeah.
He has legislative meetings, apparently.
Oh, come on,
at
Jack.
At the state fair. They do, like, meetings at the state fair.
By the way, let me plug Jack's new business coming up. There's an opening on the 24th, soft opening, I think, so don't show up, for Smoothie King. So if you're a supporter of Jack Whitfer and Iowa State athletics in general, Jack's opening a Smoothie King in Ankeny. He's already got a couple out in Waukee and West Des Moines, but Ankeny's coming, Smoothie King. So I hate to say that because we like our smoothies down the road at the juice company.
It's all
but,
good. There's you know, plenty of smoothies to go around.
Plenty of room in Ankeny for multiple smoothie companies.
Ankeny's insanity, man.
Yeah, growing. So
I talked to one guy. I think I told you this before. He was telling me that the center of Ankeny will be Centennial High School in like 5 years.
I wouldn't be surprised by that.
That's crazy to me. Because it wasn't that long ago when Centennial was like the boonies.
Correct, but think where the high school field is now. When I played at Ankeny back in 96, there was cornfields.
The glory days.
Around, yeah, cornfields. So there's been substantial growth in Ankeny, and will continue to be. That's why I have a real estate firm here.
Yeah, it's
growing.
It's a good place to be.
It's growing, yeah. I was at the fair yesterday.
So was I.
You did your show there, yeah, which I want to ask you about. But so you have a young daughter who probably doesn't care too much about the fair yet, but will.
She's weird. She loves animals.
Which is good. There's a lot of animals. My wife was joking that I never grow up, which is true, because yesterday we went there. The animals aren't a big thing for me, but we went in. I saw the bull that weighs, according to the sign, it's like 2,700 pounds.
Don't try and milk it.
This thing. And I walk in, and he's facing away from me. So the first thing I see is his balls, which are massive. And I, of course, take a picture of his balls and then send it off to my friends. And my wife's just like, can't believe I would do that.
Grow up, Mark.
I'm like, I'm never going to outgrow it thinking that balls are funny. I'm sorry.
Balls are funny, though.
Like,
they're really funny.
Yeah. So
anytime somebody gets like kicked in the balls on TV.
Oh, and the video that posted yesterday, the cameraman getting hit in the stones with that first pitch in Boston. That was kind of funny, too. But there's three main rides that we like, my kids like at the fair. Not even rides. Rides is not the right way to say that. The first one is the Sky Glider, which is just the thing that goes up over the fair, like from one end to the next that you sit there.
Yeah.
Seton loves that. Hollis went for the first time. We didn't know if she was going to like it or freak out, and she loved it. So she's not scared of heights. So Sky Glider's number one. The second one is when I tell people about all the time, and people look at me like I'm an alien, and like they have no clue what I'm talking about. Ye Old Mill.
Yeah.
Have you been on it? Do you know what it is?
I know what it is. I saw it yesterday, the Ye Old Mill.
So Ye Old
what
Mill.
What does ye mean?
The
Old Mill.
Yeah. So for those that have never been, it's a white building, just kind of right on the main thoroughfare there. And it is a kind of like a Tunnel of Love boat ride. That's what it is. You pay $2. You go. A little boat comes up this ramp. 6-8 people can fit in this thing. You sit in the boat, And off you go down this tunnel that's pitch dark. Now, occasionally in the tunnel, like, some things on the wall that are lit show up. So there's a little bit of light. But for the most part, it's a total in the dark, can't see the hand in front of your face, boat ride that kind of goes around in this curvy route and then out the other side and back up this conveyor belt. It's just kind of cool because it's different for the fair. I've gone on this thing my entire life.
The old mill?
And so many people are like, what is that? I've never heard of that. And when I describe it, so I was telling Lane Danielson about this the other day. He was taking his kids to the fair.
Was Lane wearing a shirt when you talked to him?
Lane was wearing a shirt.
Okay.
We're out in the old circle playing a little catch with the football.
So that surprises me. I figured he'd be topless at this point.
No, he'd had a shirt on. And I was playing 500. I was throwing the football up to the kids.
Were you wearing a shirt?
I was wearing a shirt, but I actually pulled my right butt cheek. As I was throwing the football. That tells you how old I am.
How do you pull a butt cheek?
You just try to violently throw the ball as high as you can up in the air. And as soon as I did that, I landed and I felt my butt cheek pull.
Jeez.
So, but this is funny because Lane's one of the greatest receivers in Iowa State history. And I'm watching Lane teach his young son how to catch a football properly. So there's your next generation. But I told Lane about Yield Mill, and he, like most people, said, what the hell is that? No clue. And I said, trust me, go on it. Take the kids. They'll love it. He did. And he got back to me and said, yep, you're right. It's pretty awesome. So Yield Mill, that's my fair thing. And the last one.
How old do you have to be to go on the Yield Mill?
A baby.
Oh, okay.
You take a baby in your arms. There's no age restriction.
I really don't like the fair. So, like, I don't really.
That one's worth going on.
I don't investigate things at the
That
fair.
One's worth going on. The last one, which is pretty famous, is the Giant Slide.
Yeah, I've seen that.
$2.50. That thing prints money.
Jeez.
And
that does print money.
You grab your burlap sack, you walk up, you go down it, kids love it. So those are our three.
If you and Seton go, do you have to pay $2.50, or do you go together?
No, everybody that walks up those steps is paying money. So, yeah.
That whole place is just a big ripoff, in my opinion.
So I went there yesterday. I think I had $130 in my pocket,
and I left
with $0.
Yeah.
Dollars.
You know what's funny is we were there, so I was there for the show. And then I had to go and hang out at the Iowa Pork Tent for a while. And Cammie and Ashley met me there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not like a big fair food guy. Like, it doesn't – I can eat junk food anywhere. Like, there's really – I like Rib Shack a lot. I like like a corn dog every once in a while, yeah. You know, because I don't eat corn dog. I don't like sit around.
It's not regular fair for you.
Yeah. But I made this decision last night because Cameron is allergic to dairy and eggs, so it's really difficult to feed her at the fair.
You're speaking to a milk addict, so that's unfortunate.
And I'm like, why don't we just go to Culver's? We'll spend like one-tenth of the or half the amount of money.
Yeah.
So we just did that on our way out. It's kind of boring.
She gets like some saltwater taffy or something.
Yeah, well, she ate some Rib Shack earlier. Like, she can eat like ribs. Like, you just have to cut them up for her and everything.
Another good treat there we got is JR Donuts. They're tiny, small donuts that are hot and have cinnamon on them. And they are ridiculously good.
Yeah.
You get 45 of them in a sack for $10.
Yeah.
So we did that. So you actually showed a...
No, I was supposed to. The whole thing botched.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like they couldn't handle all the crowds there to see your celebrity?
Well, I was there. I hung out with Iowa Pork for a while.
Okay.
And apparently, like, something got mixed up where they wanted me to do that on Saturday, but I came on Wednesday instead. Mm-hmm. So I was, like, flipping chops.
Okay.
At the big grill and stuff.
Okay. Did you do that okay?
I like to think so. I was supposed to show a pig, and Ross and I talked about it for like 2 days and made a big deal out of it, and then we botched the whole thing.
They're like, nope, you're not showing anything. So
it was a big misunderstanding.
Overall, fair for you. Overrated?
Overrated.
Is it? It's
I don't hate it. Like, I like taking Cammie and looking at all the animals and stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's just I don't like big crowds.
Yeah. And that's the fair, sure.
We go down to the Polk County Fair, which is not a big deal at all.
Where is that?
Same place.
When?
Like 2 weeks before. There's food vendors. There's nothing going on. But then, like, we do the animals and all that stuff there.
Okay.
I like the county fairs. I'm a county fair guy.
I've been to the Clay County Fair.
Here's what I don't like about the state fair. I feel like I pay $8.
$12.
Whatever.
To get in.
Yeah, whatever it is. And then just have a ton of people marketing to me the whole time.
Yeah, no, you go to the fair to spend money.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
But when
Cammy gets older, I think it'll be better. But she can't do, like, 90% of the rides.
Yeah.
She's too tiny.
Seton
she
did
can't
a,
eat most of the food, so that's a pain.
They had a few things. Cammy could ride a camel. They've got that. Seton did a zip line thing. I don't think – well, she'd probably be a little young for that. I'm telling you, man, ye old mill on the slide, that's all you need to do. You can hold her on your lap on the slide, and you can sit her next to you in a boat on ye old mill. Is she scared of the dark?
No.
Well, there you go.
She would like that.
Yeah.
She likes water, dark. She's a very adventurous kid.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's the
one. What about you? Do you call it overrated?
I think it's rated fairly. I don't think it's overrated.
My wife likes it. My deal is the crowds.
I don't get the barn. So your wife's a vet. She go into these large buildings that are barns, right?
Yeah.
And it's just row after row after row of cattle laying on the floor with fans on them.
Yeah, she likes that.
I think they're all sitting there waiting to be shown.
She thinks they're cute.
I don't get it.
She loves giant hogs too. Like the really big hogs.
I saw farmers working on the coats of the cows the other day. They're like brushing them and spraying stuff on them, and they looked like poodles. I mean, they didn't look like cows. They're all fluffed up. I hadn't seen a cow that looked like that before. They actually looked kind of cute. So, I don't know. I'm going back to the fair tomorrow night. So, just to drink some milk.
See, I think I would enjoy that aspect of it if it was just me and some buddies sitting around at one and drinking beer.
Mm-hmm.
But I never do that.
That's always what a lot of people do, though.
It's always like you rush because you're trying to get to a concert after work.
Yeah.
And I hate concerts there.
Yeah.
Like the whole ticket for beer thing is the stupidest thing I've ever.
You can't park close. Oh. It's, yeah.
You didn't have to pay to get into the fair, and then you can't stand that. Or it's me and a toddler,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's hard because she sees all these people eating all this crap and she can't eat it.
Yeah. It's been a while. You do have to pay to get in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of a rip.
It's a ripoff.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You're only coming to the fair to watch the concert, and you still have to pay $12.
Yeah, they used to have races there.
And not only that, but you have to pay for parking.
Absolutely.
I mean, unless you park far away and walk, but it's $10 to park, $12 to get in, and then you're going to the concert, and you've already bought a ticket for that. So you're $22 in just to get through the door.
Yeah, it sucks.
They make money. They make money.
They print money there.
All right, what else do we got? We're coming up on football season, so believe it or not, we'll actually talk about football at some point soon.
Are you scratching your itch, the football itch a little bit?
It comes back this time of year, yeah.
How much have you paid attention to Iowa State?
Mildly so.
Mildly?
Yeah. But that's no different for me than, certain people are into the recruiting thing. I'm a huge baseball fan. Watch a lot of baseball, right? Care about the Cubs, follow them close, et cetera. But I don't watch any spring training. I got to have the real thing for it to mean something to me. I don't watch any exhibition basketball. I don't follow practices.
Yeah, exhibition basketball sucks.
I like the real thing.
I'll watch Vikings preseason games.
But do you care about the guys that maybe aren't going to make the team? Are you watching it for that? Because you don't watch preseason to watch your starting quarterback because that's a series.
Well, I usually will watch the first half.
Okay.
Of these, or if there's an interesting rookie, I'll watch for them. And it's just because this time of year I'm just craving football so badly.
Would you be one of those guys that's stupid baseball. Enough to bet on a preseason football game?
Well, I mean, do I normally do it? No. Would I do it? Probably.
It's just hard to gauge. When you don't know who's playing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's what I don't get. A friend of mine said, he made a good point. He said, if you're going to bet on it, bet on the Seahawks. Because for some reason, Pete Carroll cares. And the first game they came out, or the last game, it was 48-17.
Really?
They kick people's butt in the preseason.
That's weird.
So there's your tip.
Just bet the
Seahawks.
The spread or money line?
Take a money line.
Just bet the Seahawks.
Don't risk it. Yeah. Yeah, better money line.
But no, I actually – so Jared's gone tomorrow. So I've been so busy with doing the sales stuff that I haven't even been up to Iowa State yet. I'm going to be making my debut at fall camp tomorrow.
Are you?
Yeah, because Jared's gone and somebody's got to cover it. And Rob's on vacation. So, yeah, I will be up there. I'm actually really looking forward to just sitting down and writing about the Cyclones. It's going to be fun.
What are you?
Campbell's available tomorrow.
Got any good questions for him? You ready?
I haven't really prepared. Like, I will. I'm sure I'll have some stuff.
Now that the season's about to start, you're back into coach speak.
You know what I want to ask Campbell is, what are you not happy with right now? Because all you ever hear about this year is like, or this time of year is like, what's going well? Mm-hmm. Like, what's not going well? What's a concern?
Yeah.
And he'll coach speak it. Like, he's not going to tip his hand. Like,
he's not
going to
say,
offensive
this player
sucks.
This player is horrible.
Yeah. But Campbell, like, he's very CEO-ish, and he does a lot of coach speak. But he'll also, like, if you ask a good enough open-ended question, he'll give you a little bit.
Yeah.
He will. Like, but you can't lead him too far. Campbell's the type where if you lead him too far, like, he's too smart. And he'll take it where he wants.
Is he the type that would ever you see it occasionally. There's the guy getting hit in the nuts again, by the way. It's on the TV here. Oh, what a direct hit.
Boom. Oh!
Direct hit. If you haven't seen this, Google Boston first pitch.
Oh,
it's great.
God,
great.
That's so awesome.
Is Campbell the guy that would ever chastise a reporter for a dumb question? I always hate it when coaches do that.
No. You know, I don't think he is.
You see it all the time.
Well, but it's – I mean – here's the deal with him. Like, right now, he still likes reporters.
Yeah.
At some point, he's going to hate everybody. Mm-hmm. It happens with the best. They all have, like, they all like you at first.
Yeah.
And then they have a couple losing seasons, and then they start to blame you for their loss, for their losing. Rhodes was a great example of that.
Yeah.
Rhodes was, and I always had a good relationship with Paul. Like, he never did anything to steer me wrong. But, like, when they started losing, you started seeing him get squirrely with the media. He didn't do that at the beginning when they were winning.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a lot negatively being written or said about him.
Well, you can only say so. I mean, if your team isn't winning, your team's bad, there's only so much you can say about it.
And,
you know, hey, we don't have the greatest players. What are they supposed to say at that point?
Hey, speaking of that, so I wanted to start doing a new deal, the Fawcast 5.
Yeah. Sounds like a coupon deal.
Do you like this?
Yeah.
Idea?
Yeah.
Where each week, like, one of us picks, like, five, like, headlines to discuss,
controversial or non.
It doesn't matter. It can be sports, it can be non-sports.
I think we got a couple of both, right?
So Nick Saban today at his press conference, you said going off on reporters. Apparently, and I haven't heard it yet, I just read the text, Saban was asked why, or something about like living up to expectations or because they were picked to win the national title by a bunch of people, and Saban went off on this guy.
He like, said, I think it was a little bit in jest, but...
Did you hear it?
No, I also read it.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But his point was, the headline says, why do we even play? Why do we have practice? His point was the media anoints people ahead of time, right? He's first team, he's second team, they're going to win 12 games, they're going to whatever, right? His point was, you guys already have it figured out. Why are you asking me the questions? Why do we even play the games? Why do we practice? It was one of those things.
Like, yeah.
You guys are so smart. You know everything about our team already. So why are you asking me about our team? That type of thing. So it's never a good look, especially when you're Nick Saban and you coach at Alabama.
I'm so sick of Saban's antics.
You know, just answer the question.
Do you like Saban?
Like
and respect are different.
No, yeah,
you obviously
admire,
respect him.
Admire. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's arguably one of the greatest of all time. I'm not arguably. He is one of the greatest of all time.
You know, here's an interesting question. I want to know if your answer is Saban. So tomorrow you win Powerball, $500 million.
Okay.
And you're bored, and you can afford to pay a coach $20 million a year to make Iowa State a national title contender. Okay? You just want to give it to the program for the purposes of hiring a coach.
Yep.
Pollard goes out and says, I have $20 million. Who wants to come to Iowa State? You're going to get some interested people. What is the one coach you'd want to bring here and pay him $20 million?
Well,
which is a ridiculous premise.
It's either Saban or Urban Meyer,
which tells you a lot about Saban, right?
I would take Saban because, I mean, not that Urban Meyer would be a fine choice, but like Urban had his little deal at Florida where he basically got burnt out and, like, completely ran himself into the ground.
Yeah.
Where I feel like Saban is football is his everything.
Why not somebody, to play devil's advocate, why not someone a little younger, a little fiery, a couple things? Like
give me an example.
I'll give you two, and one I'm surprised you wouldn't want here. Jim Harbaugh would be number one.
Yeah,
Dabo Swinney would be number two.
We could have had Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, out of his San Diego days.
Yeah. He could have been the Iowa State coach.
But you're not considering him. You know, Dabo at Clemson.
I wouldn't want Dabo.
You think he's flash in the pan?
No,
or what's wrong with him?
No. I think that he's a Southern guy.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why I was going to say I would take Saban, because I feel like that style of ball would translate better to Ames than what Urban does.
Yeah.
Not that he can do it at Ohio State. Don't get me wrong, but he's also recruiting. I don't know if like Urban or Saban, either one of those guys would be raking in top five recruiting classes at Iowa State.
That would be the interesting part.
So my point is, like, which style translate better to 3- and 4-star guys? Because they would recruit well.
Yeah.
Instead of 4- or 5-star guys. And I feel like Saban's method would fit better up in Ames.
Now, obviously, this will never happen.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah. But that would be an extremely interesting experiment. You get the greatest coach in college football to come to Iowa State. How well can he recruit?
Be phenomenal.
How well?
I would like to my coaching crushes. A guy who I always thought would be a phenomenal fit, he would never come to Iowa State because he is. I think Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern would be.
Oh, really?
Who?
Why do you like him? Like his hit. It's a Northwestern style. They have boring football.
Well, I just like guys, Mark, who do more with less. And, like, with their academic standards and stuff like that, like, I've always felt like if he went somewhere – not I'm not talking about Iowa State, but if Pat Fitzgerald was ever at Michigan State, like, he could really – or if he ever got the Wisconsin job or the Nebraska job or something like that, I feel like he's a really good
another
coach.
Guy that Peterson fits that mold for me, that would be – but so – how successful will P.J. Fleck be at Minnesota?
That's a great question. Oh, man. I know a lot about the Fleck stuff.
Yeah.
Based off of talking to Campbell's staff because they were rivals, you know.
Yeah.
And I also know a couple people on his staff. Everybody loves him who works with him and for him.
Definition of a player's coach.
Yeah, yeah. Have you watched that deal on ESPNU about him?
I've seen interviews with him, stories. I don't know.
It's funny because I was like a huge Fleck fan, and like this is basically like an infomercial for him, but it's made me dislike him.
Okay.
Well, because it's just like I don't think what he's doing is fake. I think that's really who he is, but I think there's a Harbaugh aspect of him where it's like it would wear on you pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They'll be better. I don't have any doubt in my mind that they'll be better with him. I don't think that Minnesota in 5 years is going to be competing for Big Ten titles either. Well, maybe they could win the West because the West isn't that good, but.
Yeah, it's possible.
I don't think it's going to be like Michigan, Ohio State, Minnesota because of P.J. Fleck.
I think he's the most interesting hire to watch this year to see what he does with that.
I think Iowa State could have had him and they chose Campbell.
And, based on what we've seen, I would say it shows right. But you never know. And even if Fleck succeeds up there, it doesn't mean he would have done it down here. So you can't make those comparisons. But
no.
It's interesting fodder to talk about, but tough to really know.
Fleck's a guy like I'll be shocked if he doesn't recruit really well there and get them to like 7-8 wins normally, 9 wins sometimes.
Yeah.
But that's a hard job, though. Like, I think I could make a realistic argument that Iowa State's as good of a job as Minnesota. And most people would, like, historically, you wouldn't say that, but like, I think it's a very real scenario where Iowa State's fan base keeps them in on things.
Yeah.
And up at Minnesota, you're a blip on the radar. It's all Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And then they love the Wild.
Yep.
And now the Timberwolves are going to be relevant. Like, you are so. Like on the back burner,
not up there. Not only that, though, but you lose a ton of talent solely based on your weather. And again, it's 2 months.
Yeah,
it's not the full football season where it's freezing cold. But
they also have more talent to pick from too. So I mean, it's a better recruiting area.
Yeah.
Than what Iowa State has.
Oh, no question about it. No question.
I just think those jobs like that are hard. I mean, there's one. I think one of the big reasons Nebraska was so great in the '90s and '80s was because they were the only show in town.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree. Time will tell. All right, what do we got?
That was number one.
That was topic one.
That was topic one.
I have a feeling these topics are going to be varying widely.
D. Wade and the Bulls expected to reach a buyout.
I don't understand that one. Where's it coming from? The only way that makes sense is because he's on the hook, or the Bulls are on the hook, to pay him an aging ex-superstar, in my opinion, something like $24 million this year. All he has to do is show up and pay, or play and get paid. A lot of money. For them to buy him out, that means they're paying him less.
Correct.
Than that. So is he going to go to the next team, get paid by them, and make more overall than he would if he just played? What's his incentive for being bought out?
Well, his incentive is he's probably like, I don't want to play with a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And like, I don't have that many good years left, so I want to go somewhere. He's probably going to go play with like LeBron or somewhere where he has a chance to win.
Yeah.
My guess with the way the NBA works now is that like this is a – he probably has a pretty good idea where he wants to go sign.
Yeah.
And he's probably already had conversations. So like he'll probably take a little bit less money, but he'll have a chance to win a title. That's my guess.
So – and this, you said going to sign somewhere.
Makes sense for the Bulls.
This immediately, let's make this Iowa State for a second. It reminded me, of course, of the big signing yesterday of George going to Golden State, which I like Golden State. I think that's a sweet move. So they're signing him. Knowing the NBA the way you do, does that mean George is on the team?
No.
What does he have to do at this
point? Well, he's basically going to be on their D-League team at this point, and they can move him up and down. There's no guarantees with his deal. George will be a D-League guy, but like I guess the way – and I don't really know this. I don't want to seem like a Golden State expert because I'm not. But that style of play George is really conducive to. Like it works for him. It might – I would phrase it, it's kind of like a backup quarterback where you want your backup quarterback to be a lot like your starting quarterback because that way if that guy gets hurt, you can just plug another guy in and it's not that big of a change for everybody else.
Yep.
And George is kind of like that with the way that goal – because he can run, he can shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
he's a stretch four. So to me, that's where that makes sense.
I mean, if you're going to go to a team, you might as well go to the NBA champion.
I mean, it sucks for George in the sense there's so many guys in front of him there.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, if he would have gone to Chicago, he probably would have played.
Yeah. But it's a paycheck.
I'm glad that he'll always be able to go to Europe and make money. George, I'm glad he wants to be in the NBA. I think he's an NBA caliber player. Like, I'm just glad he gets to stick around and stay relevant. Who knows? He might be in Europe by the end of the year.
But for now.
For now, he's with.
He's a Warrior.
That's good. They're taking statues down everywhere, Mark. The statues, you can't find a statue anywhere anymore.
Do you want strong takes out of me?
I didn't even want to bring this up. You did. So I'm just going
to
let you
go. I was supposed to remind you, though, of some Iowa State story when we were talking about this earlier, too.
What?
About Stevie Hicks. We were talking about this. Do you have a Hicks story?
Yeah, I was going to just tell you that story. That.
But is it related to statues?
Yeah, it kind of is. So I've told this story on the radio before. I used to fly. I didn't fly a Confederate flag. My mom is from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Like half of my family.
Which automatically makes you racist, but go ahead, continue.
No, but that's the state flag there.
Sure.
I don't even know if it is now, but it was for
one. It's been taken out from the courthouse now, I believe. Their capital.
I got one of those for Christmas one year from a relative from there.
Yeah.
It was more of a, hey, this is where you're from type deal. Like, 'cause we used to go there every year. We would go to South Carolina for a vacation.
Yeah.
And I didn't know any, like, Mark, I grew up in a community where there was,
that was normal.
Like two or three black people.
Yeah.
Like, there was no diversity where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And Stevie was a buddy of mine in college, and he saw that in my dorm room, or well, in my dorm room, my apartment.
Yep.
And he was, like, mad.
Yeah.
And the reason I just wanted to tell you that, and we talked about it, because I didn't understand why he would be mad. Like, I was very naive.
Yeah.
And it's just that these things mean different things to different people. And that's why this whole statue deal, it's like, you know, you can say, oh, it's history. And you're right. I don't even know where you're at on this.
Yeah.
But it's also a deal where that historical monument means something different to different people, and that's why you have to be sensitive with
There's no question that it means different things to different people.
Yeah, and Stevie taught me that, I'm proud to say, because I didn't understand that before we had that conversation that night.
There's no question. So I have two issues with the statues being pulled down, if they are and how. So the first one would be simply civility, the way you carry yourself, respect for others, et cetera, in that these people, and they're smaller groups of people, right? I'm not going to paint a broad brush to say this is everybody. It's smaller groups of frankly, people engaged in criminal activity that are going, often wearing masks, et cetera, onto property that is not theirs, throwing ropes around these statues that are not theirs. They did not pay for them. They do not belong to them. And because they feel it's right, they are destroying property.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Just as I would anybody going into someone's home and destroying it or vandalizing it, I don't think that's the right way to do it.
Yeah.
If you want to go to the city council and say, here's my reasons it should be removed, fine.
And start a petition.
Do that. Yeah. But don't do it. And is it violence? Not necessarily, but that's a violent act to go do something that's against the law and destroy property.
So what do you think about like how Baltimore did it? Were they in the middle of the night, like the city just decided we're going to take these down?
I mean, if the city did it, I'm not going to have the same issue.
Did you see how
that.
They did it?
No, I didn't see it. I heard about Baltimore, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, in like the middle of the night, it was a couple nights ago, Baltimore, they basically, it's like 2-3 in the morning, the city instructed it, and they went and removed.
Baltimore has a long history of doing things in the middle of the night when nobody. Think about the Colts and what they did to them, right?
Yeah. No.
Middle of the night, they leave town.
Yeah.
Like, oops.
So no, I get it. I mean, you can't just deface property and stuff.
So that's one. The other one is the historical argument.
Yeah, this is where it gets dicey.
So I view this as a very, very slippery slope. All right. So I read an article the other day where a historian said, we're not changing history, we're changing how we view history by removing statues. To me, that is the exact same thing. Everybody knows you can't literally change history. What happened, happened. It's there. But if we start saying to, there's the old thing about those that forget history are doomed to repeat it, etc. Okay? Our history, whether it's good or bad, teaches us lessons about where we came from, the changes we've made, etc. If you suddenly start taking down all statues and monuments, et cetera, that might have represented a part of our past that you don't like, then that is changing how the future generations view our history. And the slippery slope is, okay, we don't like Jefferson Davis statues, president of the Confederacy during the Civil War. We don't like them. We're taking them down. Okay? So now when people go to that same spot, they don't see Jefferson Davis. They don't ask who was Jefferson Davis. They don't ask what was the Confederacy. They don't ask any questions because there's nothing there to trigger their memories on, okay, this is something I should learn about. So by doing that, what's next after that? Do we take out the Civil War from textbooks because it was fought over slavery and slavery was bad?
That won't ever happen.
But that's my point. You start with a statue, and then it goes somewhere else and somewhere else and somewhere else. I think it's okay to have a statue that maybe in some people's minds said that was a bad part of our history.
Yeah,
and it's not the same as celebrating it. Driving around in a truck, waving a Confederate flag, honking your horns, having a parade is celebrating
something.
No, I get
what you're saying. I think I putting them in a – maybe you put the statues in a museum or I don't know. It's just where the world evolves, you know.
It does evolve, but,
what has happened
never changes.
No, I know. And I think that was a – radical. They're never going to quit teaching the Civil War in textbooks.
We hope. we hope.
I mean, I think that's one of those, like, we need our guns to protect ourselves from the government thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you'd like to think that would probably never happen in this day and age.
Yeah, I think there's a history of...
and this is from a guy who owns guns.
Yeah, okay? I think there's a history of how we teach things over the years evolving.
Yeah, I think that they'll always teach this... The difference is, in my mind, it's like that whole deal with Stevie, and that's why I said I wanted to tell you that story, is because, like you just, like, if it offends our own citizens, and it's out, like, in parks.
Yeah.
I just think there's appropriate places to put it, and I don't even know, like, I agree with your point. Like, you can't quit teaching it, because if you, history is bound to repeat itself, right? That's what that's what they say, at least. So you have to educate people so that it doesn't repeat itself. I don't know. There's smarter people than me who will figure that out, and that's why I'm glad I'm in sports now, because these are really difficult topics, and I would go crazy. Right? Could you imagine being in like news radio right now?
No, but I did want to touch on one other thing because it's based on everything that's been happening this week with racial tensions, et cetera. And I thought this story was interesting, but I'll point out the part that isn't even about the story that bothered me most. And we're back to get off my lawn. So this was in the Iowa State Daily. Some students got in trouble.
Yeah, I saw that.
For posting. So there's a building on Iowa State's campus called the Black Engineering Building. And three students, freshmen, I believe, all three of them, refreshed the campus, right? Way to get off to a good start. Posted a photo of them standing next to the sign, Black Engineering Buildings, and then it said, N-word only.
Yeah, I saw. It was
not smart, not good.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we can all agree that's a dumb thing to post.
Yeah, it really is.
What bothered me most about the entire incident was the last sentence of the article in the Daily, which said, students affected by this can reach out to Iowa State's Multicultural Affairs Office. That bothers me more than anything else. Have we become so soft that someone is so bothered by that that they need to reach out to somebody and go talk, et cetera? Like my buddy was saying, if someone had been killed, sure. Okay, that's an upsetting event. Nothing happened here.
The problem is...
I don't like that we're going to that place.
Well, the problem is, though... Like, I don't actually blame Iowa State for putting that in there, and I'll tell you
why. It's kind of like they have to, honestly.
That's where I was going. Like, we live in such a polarized climate right now.
Yeah.
And right now, more so than ever.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's...
I don't know. If you're Iowa State, though, what do you do? What do you do?
So Iowa State, I don't think is going to do anything. I think they might discipline them, and they've said that they can't disclose what the discipline is because of privacy.
Yeah.
But I was just looking at an article today. But
my point is, Mark, if you don't react properly, like to what one side or the other thinks, then you're going to stir up even more.
I don't know like, that you. I don't know that you always need to react. It's kind of like my philosophy on this is a little bit like a free market, right? So if a business does something that's bad,
yeah.
People say they should shut down, whatever. Well, okay, you can decide by your wallet by not going to do that. And if what they did was bad enough, then the public won't visit that store anymore and they'll go out of business, right? The market kind of eliminates that business by not supporting them anymore. I don't know that we always have to do something. I don't know that we always have to denounce something. If it's not denounced, then you're supporting it, which isn't true. Some things that are just bad, you shouldn't have to say that was bad. Everybody should know it was bad automatically. But in general, I was just reading an article that 10 students, incoming students at Harvard, have had their acceptance to Harvard rejected because of things they've posted on social media. So Harvard looks into that and...
Do more...
And just posts about, you know, insensitive things and whatever, right? But Harvard basically says, we don't like that here. So there are universities that are taking things exactly like this and saying, you're not welcome on our campus. We don't want that. My problem is, we know this. Free speech isn't free, right? You can say whatever you want, but there's consequences to your actions. But are we to the place in society where we're starting to oppress it too much? If you post a photo that we don't like, you're out. You can't come to this school. If you say something that's offensive,
you're out. I think a university has a right to say we don't want racists in our school, though.
But is what these kids were saying racist, or was it a bad joke? Because I think there's a difference between those things.
I don't know, man. To me, like, if you would do that on your, Snapchat?
Something like that, yeah.
I think if you would use that, I don't know. There's a hint of racism. At the absolute very least, that those kids are, you wouldn't even think to do that if you were just completely kidding around.
I mean, one of the kids in this photo, two are white, clearly. One is a minority of some type.
Yeah.
And he's in the photo. So I don't think it gives him more right to say it.
No, it doesn't.
But it changes the fact that he's not a white dude.
That word just represents so much bad. And it's so, I don't know. I can't comprehend it because I've never...
Regardless, their career at Iowa State is off to a bad start.
I'm a white Christian male. I have no right to make a comment on what that word...
I don't think anyone should use the word. I think it's a bad word. There's no question about
it. I wouldn't be against Iowa State if they'd say we don't want you in our school after something like that. I don't know what they should do. It's such a hard climate right now where it's just like, man, it's... Anything you do, you're going to get killed for. Doesn't matter.
And all of these things, all of these things bring up larger questions too. And it's usually where do you draw the line? Like, for instance, you know, you, I, et cetera, we hire people, right? How far back do we go down that rabbit hole of their social media to see, did they ever post anything that was offensive?
Yeah.
What if they did 4 years ago? Do you not give them the job?
Yeah,
people change.
That's
mature,
the problem.
They
I feel bad for young people these days in a sense because they have like this whole like track record on social media that we didn't have to worry about.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had Twitter when I was 18, I would have been a total idiot.
Yeah.
I'm a total idiot on my Twitter now and I'm 33.
Yeah, it would have been bad. So lessons for your kids, man. Somebody, I was reading an article that said, anything that you post on social media, ask yourself, would I want this on a billboard in Times Square?
Yeah.
Because that's what it has the potential to become.
Yeah, it's a really good point.
So if you're like, no, because dad wouldn't like it or mom wouldn't like it, then don't post it. Because somebody somewhere can find it.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm almost thinking less is more now with that stuff. The social media's just got the whole like stratosphere of it. It's gotten so cluttered now. Where I used to think like, oh, you need to be on. And now I feel like you could – it's just overused even.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. The clips.
Yeah. Are you going to – everyone's going to watch it, right?
I don't have glasses yet. I don't want to burn my retina.
So here's the thing. So everyone's freaking out about they're going to go blind.
See, that's what I think is fake news. I think I could look at this thing and not go blind.
Here's the thing, though. We're associating going blind with the eclipse. Well, I don't think the eclipse has anything to do with it. What they're telling people not to do, which is no different than any other day that the sun is out.
Don't stare at the sun.
Don't stare at the sun.
Idiot.
I don't think this is eclipse specific, is it?
Well, I don't know. I think it's fake news that if you look at the eclipse that you'll go blind. No, I'm not going to try
it. I don't think people will go blind staring. Well, to be fair, it's not even the eclipse. So if you're in a place where there's a total eclipse – so the moon is covering the sun. You can stare directly at it, okay? That won't do anything to you. You're staring at a dark thing in the sky, okay? And they say when you start to see the sun peek out the other side, start to look away. This is no different than you telling your kids, and we've all said this, do not stare directly at the sun on any given day. And what happens if you do? You start to see spots,
yeah,
right? It affects your vision.
Yeah.
If you do that long enough, then you can burn your retinas. What happens when you burn your retinas? You don't go blind. You see a dark spot in everything that you look at. So any face...
I'm starting to see spots right now.
Any face you would look at after that, from that day forward, after you burn your retinas, there'd be a dark spot in it. You're not going blind. People aren't going
it's
blind.
Fake news.
You'd probably have to stare at the sun for a good period of time.
Where do I buy some of these goggles?
There's lots of them online, I think.
But it's too late. I mean, the eclipse is on Monday. It's too late to get them.
So I'm actually thinking about, we talked about our office, possibly driving a couple hours away. It's about 2 hours from here.
Dude, can I come?
To where there will be a total eclipse. And I was skeptical. Total eclipse of the sky. All right, here we go. So I was skeptical. I said, what's the difference between being here in Ankeny watching the eclipse? And what's the difference between being in Cameron, Missouri? Do you know what the difference is?
Well, we're like at 94% and they're at 100, right?
But what's the difference between 94 and 100?
I don't know. Do you?
Apparently, it's the difference between – what's something grand here? It's the difference between Iowa State football and Alabama football.
Stop it. That's
the difference.
That's fake news.
Okay, it is. Okay, so think, how often...
I'm fine with being Iowa State.
Nick, the weatherman's showing up. How often do we have a total eclipse in this country? Not often, right? It's almost once in a lifetime.
Yeah,
right?
I'll probably be dead at the next one.
Okay, so this is a once-in-a-lifetime event that, in a way, physically shows us how insignificant and small we really are.
We're going to have an eclipse preview show tomorrow on KXNO.
So at 1:10 in the afternoon?
This guy named Carl from the Astronomy Club called in. He's going to come join us in studio.
At 1:10 in the afternoon next Monday,
yeah,
in the middle of the day when it should be very bright, it basically gets dark. That's kind of cool when you think about it.
Totally.
And we have no control over
it
at all.
I'll believe it when I see it. I'm going to look right at it.
The other thing that intrigues me about this, we've known exactly when this is going to happen for a long time. And we don't know for sure if it's going to rain tomorrow.
Let me tell you this.
That's what fascinates me about weather and things like this.
I watched a documentary a couple months ago, and I don't remember what it was called. But they can judge all the astronomical stuff, right? I mean, there's exacts on everything. Mm-hmm. And they can go back as many years as they want. And this guy, like, he's an astronomer, and he's got all these PhDs or whatever.
Yeah.
And he did all this research on the day that Christ was born.
Yeah.
And there was, like, really, like, a crazy astronomical thing.
Could have been. Yeah.
Like it that has never happened since.
That was the angels.
It's insane. Like, he goes back and, like, this is how he's, like, he can prove, like, the birth of Christ and, like, that all this stuff in the Bible is true.
We should have had Ashley on here talking about how eclipses affect animals, because it does. Some animals are dumb. Here's an example.
Full moon thing is legit.
I saw a video the other day. It might have been Australia or whatever, but it was a video of a hen house, chickens and hens, right? And as the eclipse is happening, they all put themselves to bed. This is in the middle of the day, but they're like, it's nighttime. Let's go to bed. And then it passes and the sun comes back out and they get back up and they go back out and eat their chicken feed. But they went to bed. They thought it was night. Chickens aren't very smart.
I don't understand all that. But
have you ever chopped a head off a chicken?
No.
I have. You know how you do it?
You take a knife and you just
saw its neck off? You take a block of wood and basically lay them down and you have like two nails in the wood and you just kind of stick their head between it so they can't. Here's the thing though. All they would have to do is lift their head up to get out. They're too stupid to know that. So they just lay there with their head stuck and you chop it off with an axe.
Thank you for sharing that.
I've done that before.
So you guys are going to go watch the eclipse then?
We're thinking about it.
Okay.
I don't know who's actually wanting to go, but I think it'd be
I might.
It'd be fascinating.
I'm going to be with Casey training her that day.
Her first day is
yes,
the eclipse.
And then, hey, I got to leave here at 11 because I'm going to go watch the eclipse with the Charter House crew. Jeez.
The way to phrase that is, do I want to go witness a once-in-my-lifetime event?
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Maybe she wants to go with us and watch the eclipse.
She'd be like, this job's awesome. Kind of eclipse hunting.
Number five here on the Fawcast 5, Gray canceling the Vegas trip.
Yeah. What a flake.
So tell the story here. You were pretty upset about this the night it happened. You sent me a bunch of...
We've had long discussions about this in our Vegas group. And Gray and I are fine, by the way.
Oh, you guys have buried the hatchet?
Yeah, we're fine, by
the way.
That's
good. That's encouraging.
The issue for me was how Gray phrased it more than anything else, right? He said, so we've had this trip booked since April.
Yeah.
April, right? It's coming up October 20th.
Okay.
Gray texts that he found out a buddy of his is getting married and having a bachelor party in Austin, Texas the weekend before. It's not even the weekend of the trip. It's the weekend before. So he tells our group, hey, guys, I got a better offer, so I'm out. I'm going to that instead, and I can't go next week because of work or something like that.
So
right?
Where is his – what's his new offer?
This bachelor party.
I know, but, like, where is it
at? Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas. Okay.
Yeah.
I was confused there. Okay.
So Gray had tickets purchased, plane tickets purchased, right? We have rooms booked in Vegas. You know, I assume I'm committed to the trip. Maybe that's my feeble brain, how it processes things. And then literally, in his mind, a better offer comes along. And he says, I'm out on this. I'm in on this. Now, I look at that as being flaky. That's just me. I wouldn't do it. And everyone would make their own decision. You might do what Gray did. You know, if you thought I'll have more fun down there or whatever. But if I tell someone I'm in on the trip, my tickets are booked, et cetera, short of a death or I've gone broke or something like that, I'm going to go honor that commitment. I'm going to go do it. Gray looks at it a little bit differently. And, you know, I'm not going to ever convince him that he should go on our trip and not the other one. But
is there anything that you'd like to say to Gray publicly right now?
I think I've said everything I need to say to Gray on this.
Okay.
Would you have done it? Same thing? At what point do you bail on friends?
I would say it depends on the relationship. So if it's like one of my best friends.
He said it was one of his best friends growing up, but I don't know if they're still best friends or see each other.
To me, it's all relationship. That's what it all comes down to.
Yeah.
If like I'm in this guy's wedding, I would feel the need to go to that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just like, oh, I haven't seen him in 4 years, then no, I would go on the Vegas trip.
Yeah, I think that
you guys have got to do a bye week some year so I can go.
We go on road. Like, they're always on the road.
See, the problem is now I have other things that keep me from doing reaction.
Yeah.
and like I have a contract, I can only miss so much. And like now, like I'm doing, like Bloom and I do a lot of the tournaments, like basketball tournaments, yeah, when John and Eric have games. So it just, it screws everything. It affects a lot more people than just me when I miss a game.
I think you think you could go and do like a reaction from somewhere in Vegas. I do. I actually think it would add a lot to your program that particular.
I can't explain to you how big of a pain that would be for Learfield. Like hooking me up at some random place in Vegas to Jefferson City to the board, like it would be technically a nightmare. Now we're getting to the point though, Mark.
Yeah.
Where you do it all through internet. And once we get to that point, it'd be very realistic to do that.
I think it would be interesting because your show is kind of the same every week, you know, reaction show, etc. I think it'd be interesting to say, come on your show and say, I just watched the game from the sports book.
Oh.
And talk about that angle and how people watch the games, et cetera.
No, Learfield's through the university. It can't be anything to do with gambling.
They know you talk about gambling all the time, right?
If this was a Cyclone Fanatic show, then we could totally do that.
So they're just going to bury their heads in the sand that people gamble on things?
It's college athletics, man. Yeah, that's exactly what they do.
You realize
that is exactly what they do.
You realize in October, when the Supreme Court takes up the case in New Jersey, all of this is going to change.
It's going to be awesome.
All of this is going to change.
We need to get Whitfer on to talk about that.
So basically, for people that don't know, if the Supreme Court – here's the thing. So I was listening to a gambling expert the other day and a lawyer, knows the Supreme Court well.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the Supreme Court typically doesn't take on cases to confirm a lower court's decision. And the lower court's decision would be we're keeping gambling illegal. So this would be a case where they're probably looking to turn it around. And if they do, what does it mean? It simply means that the states can decide what they want to do with gambling. It doesn't necessarily make it – sports gambling is legal everywhere. Do whatever you want. Iowa would be able to – the Jack Whitfers of the world would be able to say, how do we now make this legal here?
So we're basically Republican run. Jack is in favor of legalizing it.
For sure, yeah. He's for legalizing fantasy sports, which is akin to the same thing.
That's just opening up the floodgates.
Yeah, and I think there's a smart, responsible way to do this where you – one idea people had, because it's how do you collect taxes on the winnings and all of that. One idea I heard was simply having a gambling license, like you have a fishing license, a hunting license, anything else. So if you want to bet on sports –
you have to give them your license.
You pay them $250 a year to the state of Iowa, right?
Yeah.
So they've made all that money right now, so you can gamble on sports. Then you go out to Prairie Meadows or wherever and you gamble, and if you win, you now are on the hook for the taxes associated with that profit. So there's a way for government to do this very responsibly, where government's making money just like they do on lotteries and everything else, and yet let us do it at the same time. So do I think if this Supreme Court ruling goes in the right direction, do I think we'll have sports betting legalized in Iowa within 3 years? I would say yes, at least somewhat.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's across the board.
I think we will too.
But I don't know if you're going to have to physically go to Prairie Meadows to do it, or if you'll be able to do it through an app or something to that extent too. Because they could make it that way if they wanted to. And that's where everyone is anyway, on their phones.
And then it's a lot easier to track winnings and stuff, too.
Yeah, bring it out of the shadows. I think what's going to affect them is if Iowa says, we're legalizing it, but we're capping at $100 a bet. If you do that, bookies won't go out of business at all. Because there's people that want to bet much more than that. Or they're going to say, we can't do parlays or whatever, right? So they got to open it up fairly broadly for people to embrace that.
Yeah.
And if it's only you have to physically go there, it's not going to matter either, because people don't want to drive down every 20 minutes to Prairie Meadows to place the next bet.
Correct.
That doesn't make any sense either. So luckily, we have someone smart like Jack to help us figure all this stuff out.
We need to get him on before then to talk about it.
How they would maybe do it?
Yeah, that'd be good. All right, good podcast today.
If we offended anybody, I don't really apologize for that, but it's... I don't know if we said anything.
We talked some real estate off the bat, but as always, we wrap these things up with the really funky, cool music that comes up, and then you're going to hear Mark's voice.
We appreciate the continued support, by the way.
Yeah, keep on buying that real estate. I had another good deal from an advertiser, Becca Fleece, the travel agent who's been sponsoring our countdown to kickoff, and she's already had a bunch of people come in and book trips through her.
Booked a trip through her.
Yeah, I know. Katie told me that. I appreciate you guys doing that.
Yeah.
But she said that it's been an awesome response, I don't think people really understand like what travel agents do. I think people think that you have to like pay a travel agent. You really don't. Like, they get you better rooms, better rates, and they've been to these places, and it's basically just...
Travel agents are essentially like a concierge in a hotel.
Yeah.
You can use them to help you acquire tickets or a dinner reservation or get directions, et cetera. You don't pay them anything to do that, right?
Correct.
It's complimentary.
Yeah,
for the hotel.
They get
travel
paid.
Agents are the same. So you're like, not paying them, but they make it easier.
So, like, if she gets you a... Like, then, like, that hotel gives her commission or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's... What's cool, I've talked to her. She goes to all these hotels, and she knows, like, oh, if you want an oceanfront room, this is... Like, she's very experienced, so it's cool. And she's a huge Cyclone fan. Her and her husband, they live in South Dakota, and they drive to every Iowa State game.
Loyal.
Yeah. So they if you're booking like a winter vacation, hit me up. Or her ads are on the Countdown to Kickoffs, and we've talked about her on our Facebook page too. So I wanted to throw that out there.
Cool.
We're doing a real estate talk with Mark now.
Hey everybody, Mark here. Hope that last podcast was excellent. To be honest with you, we pre-record these things, so I don't know if it was excellent, but most of them are. So hopefully that one was too. Today, I want to talk a little bit about something that got brought up the other day in a meeting that I had with a client who happened to be a for sale by owner. And the story goes, they were struggling, like a lot of for sale by owners do, for a variety of reasons. But they got contacted by a friend of mine who knows what I do and said, you guys got to call Mark. He can definitely help you. I took a look at their property, and what I noticed was that it was priced great. It was located next to an elementary school in Ankeny. The price was great. What they were lacking was simply marketing. So they told me they wanted to interview a bunch of agents. I knew that I could sell it quickly, so I got right to the point and I told them, I want to sell your house in 30 days. I want to list it for 30 days. And if I don't sell it within 30 days, I'll give you $1,000 for wasting your time. They immediately said, you're hired. We don't need to talk to anyone else. Obviously, you believe in what you're doing. I listed their house, and I sold it within 24 hours at the price that they had already determined. So, obviously, a very happy seller. The question he asked me the next day, he came into my office and said, what did you do differently? It's a question we get a lot when we succeed for people where they have failed. There's a couple of reasons, and I've addressed this before, but these things go by so fast. It's been a while. There's a couple of things that I told him are the main two reasons why, in general, for sale by owners don't work. The first is obviously marketing. We can do marketing in a vast way compared to the average for sale by owner. We have networks of hundreds of websites. We have the MLS. We know how to do social media. We do some stuff on Facebook and target that to thousands of eligible buyers using really some science on ways to attract them and get them to notice what we're trying to get into their news feeds. Those things have worked very well. The other piece is consumer confidence. And by that, I mean, when you're driving down the road and you see that famous red for sale by owner sign with just a phone number on it, you have no idea what to expect. If you call that number, will it be nice? Will it be a nice seller? Will they be in a bad mood? How did they price their house? Did they guess? Did they use comps? It's really just an unknown. Versus when you drive down the road and see a Charterhouse real estate sign, a REMAX sign, a Coldwell Banker sign, you know that there's an agent behind the transaction. And you know if you make a call, you're talking to somebody that does that for a living, hopefully, it's not part-time, but they've probably priced the house with comps in mind. They know what they're doing. They know how to handle your call. They know the next step. And because of that, you have confidence in entering into that transaction or at least wanting to go look at the house with an agent. That's different with a for sale by owner. It's really one of the reasons that they don't work out very well. But I also said basically the answer to his question, what do we do different? The answer really is everything. Everything from philosophy on how we market to how we sell to how we talk to our clients to all of that. There's a reason that successful agents are successful agents. Typically, they're doing the little things that make the difference. Those inches add up over time. And when you hire someone to work with someone that really believes that philosophy and does this industry the right way, you can see the difference. And that's why houses sell quickly with agents and oftentimes in other situations, whether it's a for sale by owner or a bad agent, it just isn't the same result. All right, guys, that's it. As always, we can refer you to an agent anywhere in the country if you're looking to buy or sell. That is a way for us to help Cyclone Fanatic continue to pay our monthly fee to be able to do these things and bring them to you. Well worth it for us. But yeah, if you want help and you don't live in Central Iowa, we're happy to do that. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.